May the Prince of Peace, born this night, fill your hearts and minds with the love of God found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Christmas Eve, it has a special place in our hearts, doesn't it? It is on this night that we celebrate a birthday. And not just anyone's birthday, mind you. It is the birth of the Son of God, the birth of Jesus Christ. This day has, throughout the ages, been a time of giving, and it has brought peace. It was in Belgium. In Belgium on December 24th, 1914, the world was at war. On one side of the horrible conflict stood the British and French armies. On the other side stood the Germans. And as the sun began to go down and the twilight of dusk washed over the landscape, the Germans actually set about decorating their trenches with Tannenbaums, with branches from pine trees. Just before night fell, the Germans put up a sign. It read, "You no shoot, we no shoot." Not long after the sign went up, the Germans started singing Christmas carols. One in particular had profound meaning and effect. "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." Some time has passed, many years have passed since that Christmas Eve in 1914. I wonder how many of you even know that it happened. I wonder how many people at all know that that happened anymore, so long ago. But it did happen. There on the battlefield with soldiers ready to kill and die for their prospective countries, all became quiet, all became peaceful. Because of this right down here, because the Prince of Peace was born. To really grasp this all in context, all of what happened in 1914, you really got to go back a few months to really grasp it all. You see, it was on June 28th of this same year that in the city of Sarajevo, the Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated as he left the city hall. That one shot caused a series of domino effect events which in just a few short months brought the entire world to war. It was called the Great War. It was called the war to end all wars. Never in the history of the world had so much fighting gone on at one time. Never in the history of the world had such loss of life occurred since the great flood at the time of Noah. That one shot led to millions of people dying. This so-called Great War cost many lives. But there is another war that has actually cost far more. And it's been going on for a lot longer than World War I ever lasted. In fact, every human being since the time of Adam has been a part of it. There in the garden, Satan fired one shot. And that one shot destroyed Eden and filled all life on earth with the effects of sin on them. That one shot has cost every human being their life. That one shot brought the whole human race to war. War with each other, but far worse and far more important is war with God. you sitting here right now, simply because you're alive, simply because you were born, are at war with God. We are born his enemies. In World War I, the odds of surviving as a soldier was 1 in 4. 3 out of 4 died. The odds of survival were slim at best. But in the war with God, your odds aren't that good. In that war, everyone dies. No one lives, no one survives, no one escapes. There is no hope. There is nothing we can do to escape the coming wrath of God. God's anger has been kindled, and we are the focus of his contempt. As World War I raged on into December, each side sustained very serious and heavy losses. The hate and the contempt on both sides grew with vicious fervor. Both sides thought of nothing but the death of their enemies. And then it happened. On December 24th in 1914, on Christmas Eve, a special kind of miracle took place. The soldiers, just the rank and file grunts on the ground, did what the upper echelon of authority could not accomplish. They called a truce. There in Belgium, with only 6 words, the Christmas truce was made. You no shoot, we no shoot. The sound of gunfire was replaced with the singing of Christmas carols, which filled the night. Maybe not entirely unlike the sound of the armies of heaven filled a night over a field near Bethlehem, where shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. The day before, soldiers tried to sleep with bullets whizzing over their heads. On this night, the words were sung, "Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace." Who but God could have effected such a change in the hearts of such hate-filled people? Who but God can change hearts now? We all deal with pet sins. We all deal with those things that constantly poison our hearts and plague our minds, trying to keep that hate alive. There are those things, if you're really honest, you just don't really want to let go. There are those people, if you're really honest, you just don't really want to love like yourself. If you're really honest, there are those people you kind of enjoy hating. Can you change yourself? Can you stop the poison from coursing from your heart through your veins and then sometimes out your mouth or the hands, the action of your hands? Can you heal yourself? If you are genuinely, truly, grossly, bluntly honest with yourself, do you really want to be healed? You know the answer. Revenge always looks sweet. We don't really want to, but why? Why are we like that? Why does sin feel so good in our hearts and our minds? Why is it that we can't come to that place where we would desire God's perfection instead of Satan's poison? It's because of sin. From that one shot fired in Eden, the effect of that separates us from God. It pulls us away. It drags us into the pit, a pit filled with the stench of rot and of filth, which is just why our Savior came, right into that pit with us, as a baby born and laid in a manger filled with the stench of rot and filth. But with him, he brought peace and forgiveness and salvation and the antidote to sin. Listen to those words. an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then it happened. An army showed up. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." Those angels, filled with awe at the fulfillment of God's promise to save his people, they just couldn't contain themselves. They filled the skies, and they cried out to the world, "Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born." Two nights in contrast. One about 110 years ago, one about 2,000 years ago. In both, wars raged, and in both, God was glorified. When Jesus was born on that first Christmas, the glory was given to God as the angels, the soldiers of heaven, sang his praises. Many years later, soldiers again gave glory to God in spite of the stain of sin that plagues every aspect of their very existence. Both nights remind us of the true miracle of Christmas. It was in both of these nights that Christ the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, brought peace to the earth. Thing is, Christmas truce didn't last. The truth is, in most places, it barely made it 24 hours. That's where these two nights and the events that are contained in them really diverge, because although the peace found in 1914 could not endure, the peace given by the Prince of Peace has and will continue to endure forever. That peace, true peace, was given to you as a cure for the poison in your heart and the poison churning in your veins. You see, Jesus came for you for that reason, to cure you, to make you whole, to make you holy in his Father's eyes. That is the real miracle of Christmas. That is why we come here week after week singing praises to God. That is why we come here hearing his command to worship together every Sunday is, in fact, a celebration of two things. A celebration of this event and a celebration of that one. It's a celebration of the birth, the promise of the one who was to come, and that he came and he died and he rose, paying the bill for you. That is precisely what church is for and what church should be about, because without the birth of Jesus, he couldn't have died. Without the death of Jesus, he couldn't have risen. And without the resurrection of Jesus, you could not be saved. And you really wouldn't have any peace. The Christmas truce of 1914 has never been repeated, sadly. There have been many wars since that war to end all wars. Never has peace fallen on a battlefield like it did that day, but the peace that came from that first Christmas, that is repeated. It's repeated here, right here in this house, in all houses of worship of the one true God, every time they gather. It's repeated every time a child is baptized. Every time one of God's children returns to the church he once abandoned, every time a soul confesses those sins to God and longs to be restored to that place where God smiles on them. So this evening, take a look. Take a look into that manger. Look hard and look long, because there, in the face of a baby, you will see what you could never find anywhere else this side of heaven's gates. In that little manger, you will see the face of God, and he is smiling He's smiling because that baby recognizes you. The truth is, he knows your name. You're special to him. You're the reason he's here. He, on that silent night, on that holy night, the Son of God loves pure light with radiant beams from his holy face and with the dawn of redeeming grace is Jesus, Lord at his birth. Praise be to him. Amen.